So let's do this. Let's read this together devotionally and let's see what Scripture says to us. Very important, very important. Scripture only has one interpretation. Did you know that? It was written to a specific people, to a specific purpose, person with a specific purpose. This book was written to Titus. It wasn't written to you, okay? But it was written for you. That's what Scripture says. The Scripture was written so that it can profit us in all these ways. It's 100% the Word of God. But to understand what it means for me, I must understand what it meant to Him. All right, and that's where we are tonight. We're just trying to understand. Now, in the first chapter, we spoke about there was a lot of Jews in this new community. It's an island, Crete, very morally faulted little island in the middle of nowhere, knew nothing. The Word of God came there, and they met Jesus Christ, and their lives changed. Pattern of the New Testament, the Jews, they follow the gospel and they're trying to make everything like Israel. So they're telling these people to keep a lot of laws, dress a certain way, eat a certain way. And Paul says, no, no. You don't have to do all these rules. Believe on Jesus. We spoke about it, legalism versus lawlessness, all right? So in short, if you trust on anything to be saved, if you believe, if I do all these things, then He will love me, it's called legalism. I'm gonna do these rules, I'm gonna do all these things, and then He's gonna love me more. And that's the essence of the Israeli movement back then, is they wanted the people to circumcise themselves. They wanted them to eat like Jews used to eat in the Old Testament. And all those things, Paul said, is not necessary. Trust in Jesus. Now we're in chapter 2, and now he's saying, first he said, don't listen to these guys, they're telling stories, and now he's giving instructions. Okay, are you with me? That's where we are right now. What did he tell them to do in chapter 1? Who can remember? What was the one thing they had to do? That to appoint elders to oversee that the faith stays sound to the word. All right. Here we are, chapter 2. It's a very short chapter. Let's do it together. You're going to enjoy this. But as for you, okay, so he's had an argument in the first chapter. Now he's shifting gear. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. The truth. Okay? Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled. I've just made that word bold because you're going to see it's coming up quite a lot. Sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. I don't know why the women drank so much. Maybe it was the men that drove them crazy, but something happened. But they are not to be slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And he carries on with the woman. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Said the word again. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity. You hear this again, the sound teaching, integrity in teaching, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants ought to be submissive to their own masters in everything. Okay, just pausing for a moment. Spoke to the older men, spoke to the older women. He mentions the younger women by indirectly saying to the older men, teach the younger women. So the younger women should be willing to be taught by the older women. And he says to the younger men, be self-controlled. Then he goes to the bondservants and he talks a bit about slaves. Now, in that time, there were slaves. And a lot of these slaves were slaves that sold themselves into slavery for money. Okay? So, there's not a lot of slaves around this place. Although, you may feel you work like a slave at Sasol. Alright? But, here's the thing about the slaves you see in biblical times often, except those that was brutally beaten and just sold away. A lot of these bondservants were working off a debt, so they had someone they had to work for. A lot of the instructions overall for slaves in the Bible, the heart that the writers want them to take is what you can take to work. Don't speak bad about your master. Serve them. Love them. Pray for your master that they may see Christ through you. All right? So whenever you see instructions for slaves when it comes to their masters, be radical and say, Lord, I want to work with such a heart. Okay? Older men, older women, younger men, younger women. And then you could say, the workplace. All right? That's what he's addressing here. They ought to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They ought to be well-pleasing and not argumentative. Not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. That's how God wants us to work, right? We work for money, so that we may live. These people work, they may live. Okay? Why is verse 2 there, 10 there two times? Maybe it's very important. Okay. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. Training us to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to purify himself for a people of his own possession who are zealous for good works. It's a mouthful. Last verse, declare these things, exhort and rebuke. Now, what's important for us is to understand when they read this, okay, the old man, you know, must be self-controlled, all the women, when you buy a drunkie, all those things. What did they hear? What came to them at the reading of this letter? What did they understand, and what can we learn from it? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you on a bit of a detour, but if we can just quickly go to the next slide, just a quick overview. What we saw in chapter 1 is false teachers emerges, and wherever the gospel goes, there you'll find these. Wherever there's churches in a town doing amazing work, you want to find someone that takes a chance somewhere. It's just how it works. Okay? But if you have sound teaching in your heart and in your mind, then you quickly, jy sal ryk as daar vuurtjie brand. So people that often gets caught with people leading others astray is naive people that should actually be led by you guys, instruct in the way they should go. So false teachers were there, and there was elders appointed in chapter 1 to make sure that people believe on Jesus. All right? Now, we see something about older men, older women, we see the household, and we see self-control and stuff like that. Why is he saying that? That's our question for tonight. What is he on to? Now, I want to take you on a small detour. Okay. Now, these guys would have known it. And if you have a study Bible, okay, and you studied that chapter, it would have led you on this little tour we're going on right now. Now, back in the Garden of Eden is where Titus chapter 2 started. Adam and Eve disobeyed. There's a tree in the garden that they should not eat of. It's the only tree they should not eat of. Eve takes the fruit. Adam is right there with her. Okay, he's guilty as well. They eat it. They disobey God. And what happens is there's a separation. You can call it a curse. Where God is, where his presence is, there's a blessing, there's a peace. Where he's not, there's a curse, there's an emptiness. All right? And so what comes to Eve is the first curse ever announced in the whole Bible. There was one curse before it, but it was not to a man, it was to Satan. He spoke to the snake. He said, you're going to have a war between you and humans. You're going to go for the heel and they're going to go for your head. This is the first curse spoken to a human in the garden. Check this out. We're going on a detour. Don't lose me, okay? To the woman, he said, I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. That's not good news. All right? I witnessed one birth. I'm telling you, it was not an easy day. In pain you shall bring forth children. Now, here's the interesting part. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now, the context here is a curse. All right? Check that sentence there, your desire shall be for your husband. What does that mean? You'll desire him intimately, like sexually, is that what it means? Because I'm telling you, that's not a curse. for a wife to want to be with a husband. That's a blessing. That's what Scripture says. So what's this? Study Bible helps you with this. All right? Now, so you should ask yourself, what's going on there? Your desire shall be for your husband. Sounds very cool, but he shall rule over you. If you have a study Bible and you go just into the little corner of your Bible, it will take you to the very next verse, Genesis 4 verse 6, which is almost this. There's only three times the whole Bible that word desired is used in that sense. Check this out. Don't lose me on the detour. We're going back to Titus. Same thing is spoken to Cain. Cain, why are you angry and why is your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, check this out. Sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you. But you must rule over it. We see that rule again. What is sin wanting to do with Cain? Its desire is to rule Cain. But you must rule over it. The context of this verse, where it's falling in, is a negative context. This is what to say. Wie aan het my kwaad gemaak, nou sê ek, yes, ek's lus vir jou. Okay? Doesn't mean ek's lus om jou te keier. Kom hier so, en wys ek jou iets. Like, kom hier, en wys ek jou iets. Okay, wat wil jy my wys? Ek wil nie iets wys, kom hier, en wys ek jou iets. So sometimes scripture works like that. It's just human nature. All right? And you need to dig sometimes to understand it. So sin's desire is for you. Sin is waiting to capture you, but you must rule over it. Are you with me? Now, if you go back, if you guys can go to the next verse. I want you to read that scripture again. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband. What is scripture saying? Who wants to take a chance? It's a bit like Bible school tonight. It's a bit academic. What is this scripture saying? Your desire shall be for your husband. Who wants to take a chance? Exactly that. Your desire will be to rule your husband. What just happened in the garden is God said, I love you, I care for you, don't eat it. What the woman did with the man, he was there, is she said, no, I will rule you, I will eat. Exactly the same action the woman took against God, he says, now you're going to want to do that with your man. What he's going to do is, he's going to rule different than me, different than God. He's going to rule with a strong hand over you. There's going to be enmity in the home. It's a curse. The curse is that marriages is under fire if Christ is not there. We see it in this world. Not only marriages, different types of marriages is allowed. It's scary. This thing is a reality. And the Jews and the people knew about this. They knew the Bible. And so at this point, the gospel enters Titus, and I just want to read this again. Titus 2 verse 1. Remember now our detour. You'll want to rule of him. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. If we go to the next verse. This is what he's saying. Older men, you ought to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and steadfastness. Older women, likewise, you ought to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slave to much wine. They ought to teach what is good. Check this out. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, all those things. He says, listen, these people come with all these Jewish rules. Let me tell you what we must do. First things first. First curse ever spoken in the Bible to a human being is your marriage is going to be in a mess. Your home is going to be in a mess because of what happened in the garden. Wife, you're going to try. You're going to be tempted. You're not going to think about it, but something in you will want to revolt against your husband. Something in you will say to your boss, I won't listen. Something in you will come up with that. And sometimes you'll say, but this is not me. I don't want to be like this. It's spiritual. It happened in the garden. And you see it with your dad when you're young. And he says, he knows and he prays for you every evening because he's worried about you. And so he says, will you please be at home 10? And it starts. Man, you will not tell me what to do. I will eat the fruit if it looks nice. I'm getting to the guys in a moment. We inherit that. The curse is alive and well. Okay? And we get born into that. The husband, you will rule with a strong hand. It's a negative connotation that rules. Not a loving rule. She will come and she will snap at you and you will raise your voice higher. And she will know just how. Sy gaan net weet hoe om jou knoppies te druk. And then what you're going to do is you're going to take her with your hands and you're going to skit. Or you're going to push her. You're going to rule her. Jy gaan haar wys wie's baas. That's what Genesis chapter 3 verse 16 says. Hard times is coming. And the kids are now going to grow up in those homes and they're going to witness mom and dad. The one not submitting, the other one overruling, fighting for a place. And this is the state that Paul finds this little island, Crete, where there's a harbor. And Jesus comes in the form of a gospel and lives start to change. People start to work. There was no Bible back then. It was being written still. Okay. Wow, I experience in my heart and this is real. I feel peace. What should we do now? The Jews comes. No, you must keep this calendar. You must eat these food pulses. No. Let's sort out the curse. Let's start to have a families on this island. Husbands, love your wives. Every pastoral letter, go read Timothy, go read Philippians. Husbands, love your wife. Let's start there. It is a curse. It's a reality in this world until Christ comes, who became a curse for us. Let's sort out the home. Let's be different in this town. Let's be different in Crete. Let's be different in Secunda. Yeah, but there's a curse, yes. Have you accepted him? He became a curse for you. It can lift off your family. Who? You start to love that woman. And you care for her. And you be kind with her. And you rule with a softness. And then she's going to respond with kindness. She's going to take the kids and the young women. And she's going to say, kom braai by ons. Kom saam met ons weg vir die naweek. You're just setting them up because you're going to show them how you speak with a man. With your husband. And he's going to show how he leads in love. Mutual submission. The one giving preference to the others. Let's start there. Let's set it straight. When he comes to a town, let's start with the families. It starts here. Not with clothes and food. It's rubbish. Now on a Wednesday morning, we're going to stand like this and face. What does it help anyone? We're not going to eat this. It doesn't help results. Love your wife. Love the man. It starts there. And Paul's advice should put a smile on our faces because what he's saying through all these small epistles is this is possible. Love her. Love him. That's where he starts. So when you're often worrying, yes, what should I should do more for God? And you know, I'm not sure what to do. You know what? He wants you to look into your heart and love like this. Now, what you need to do if you're not married is you need to take this and jy moet dit so 'n bietjie kou for yourself. You can practice this as the way you love, care for, and respond to your dad, guy and girl. The way you respond, listen to, and respect your senior at work. Ja, my hy's 'n paluka, I know. You know what? Just love him. Christ loves people that's hard to love. And that's us. Okay? So we all can start somewhere. So, I'm not going to be long tonight, but Titus 2 in Secunda looks like this. Wives. Now, if you're a single woman, listen. Because you need to be trained. So listen to the example and make it your own. Wives, let your love and submission toward your husband be self-controlled. Because that word is with every group. Let it be self-controlled and reflect that Christ came into your life. You can't do this without God. You love Him. He touched you. He changed you. You can do this. Husbands, let me just say this on the wives. This is not easy. Oh, you can keep it with husbands as well. For both, this brokenness is birthed and trained into us. This does not come easy. You say the word submission at work and you get jechrefelkeiker. It's a swear word. How can you submit to one person? You know what? It does not work if the one you submit to is not filled with love. If he is filled with love, you'd want to go sit. Remember in Songs of Solomon? You're like a tree. And when I sit under you, there's authority. Remember that from Relationship Month? I feel safe. I feel protected. I feel cared for. Christ can redeem this. But now here's the thing. If you come in here with your past and with your brokenness, you're going to have to work. This will not come just like this. It's going to come through prayer, training, failing. You're going to submit women and he's still going to be harsh because he's going to have an off day and you're going to have an on day. All right? Then he's going to be kind and he's going to say, yes, you are like moi. And because you got off at the kopkant van die bed, you think he's sarcastic. And then you're going to tell him, kijk na jou eie hare, or something like that. Okay? So you're going to miss one another. There's going to be a misfire. There's going to be a mistiming. And then there's going to be times when you just click and jy is bietjie bang, want jy is bietjie rof in die huis and jy weet, daar's ys in die lug, and you're going to say, take off of your skoene, and she's had it for 5 years or something. But now she wants to train this, and she's going to say, oh, thank you. And now, it's such a stupid remark, but she wants to play with you this game. She wants to get this thing right, and at times are going to work so well. And then at other times, you both are just going to miss it. Maar jy sê dit en jy sê dat. Ek gaan nou stap, ja, loop. Boels, en dan gaan jy. Okay. Okay. That should not stop us from trying until we get it right. And just a key for those of you that's married and single people who have a head start, always starts with you. You're accountable for your own heart. Let God work with him and maak seker hy gaan braai by die ouens in die kerk, because they will sort him out. As hy wil gaan braai, sê ja. As hy wil op missions gaan, sê ja. As hy wil in 10-pin bowling toe gaan, jy moet maar besluit. Okay. Okay. I've never been there, but I hear it's not 10-pin bowling, it's going on in any case. And guys, we are wired to rule. We're not wired that way, but it was deposited into our hearts that day, because we stood there, all of us, while she took the fruit, and we said, so we either passive and we do nothing. I think that's worse. Either a vegetable, and the woman must run the house, run the finances, clean the clothes, help the kids, and we sit there. Or we rule, and we're quite active, but we're harsh. All right? And that's our predisposition that we must bring before God. So God, I want to be active, but I want to rule with love. Dit beteken jy kan 'n pak slaa nog steeds gee. Okay, there's a way to do it. God also disciplines whom he loves. It depends on what comes out here. Okay, so for us, and we can practice it. I remember growing up, and I used to see this in a town where I grew up. It's quite a you'd say like an apartheid racist town, the way the men would rule the men that would work in their gardens will show what's in their heart. Because just because someone is helping you with a menial task doesn't mean that you rule with them from a place of hate. Okay? But now if he treats the guy in the garden this way, he will treat also his wife that way. Because it's him doing both. It comes out of his heart. And so there's many areas we can practice. How do you lead? Do you lead with grace or with anger? Is there self-control in the way you love and lead? Or do you lead with a short temper and with accusations or with ultimatums? And this is, it's like we're back in relationship month, but this is what the scripture says, all right? Are we together, everyone? He's saying, start with the families. Families is the cornerstone of every society. That's why there was such brutal punishment in the Old Testament for people that would sin against the family, like take another man's wife, or I'm not going to list all the different things you can do sexually, that's wrong. But these people would be brutally dealt with because no one messes with the family. The family is so important. It displays everything of God to the world. That's where Paul starts. Young men and women, honor and love your families, your community with self-control in a way that shows that Christ came into your life. The last part is very important. In the workplace, we're taking the slave thing for ourselves. Let your work be pleasing to your boss. Let it be pleasing. If it's pleasing to God, it's going to be pleasing to your boss. Self-controlled, that it may show that Christ came into your life. Everyone, again, exercise self-control and godly submission. The moment Jesus comes in, this is a strijkplank oor hy loop. He smooths it out. It's bumps and bruises on the way. But he's helping, taking care of the home. Isn't it amazing? Let me share something. In the first year when I came here, I don't know what the percentage, we can actually figure it out. Rwandi is very smart. But I wanna guess. I would say 80% of people, 80% would come to church because of a broken marriage, a broken relationship, parents' broken relationship, relational tension. What happens in the home grows the church because there's the need. The church should have the answer. It's very smart, Paul. So he starts, he says, guys, here, we need to esteem marriage for what it is. We need to love one another, care for one another, because the world is coming. Amen? Some people come here because apparently there's beautiful single girls in our church. That's also true. And the word is also going out about Vessel, and so all the ladies are coming to we're giving you announcements and everything, you know. Church growth, whatever grows, reach the lost at all cost. That's what scripture says. Okay. And there's also like, I hear Regis and Vian saying something about flirt to convert. But I don't know if that's biblical. I only heard it. I'm not saying we should do it. But, I mean, if someone might be here, they might meet Jesus tonight. But don't do it anymore, okay? I'm just joking. Guys, I just want to finish off tonight. A lot of areas in our lives are injured. It's just the world we find ourselves in. One day, He will come, and what is not perfect will be perfect. We see it in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, for now we see in part, but then we will see clear. For now, we don't always know. We don't always understand. If you think all that, hoekom is ek soos ek is? I never liked this thing about my dad. Dink ek nou vir my. Okay? I'm just like him. God. And a part of that is, it's just what sin did to humanity. Christ is here to redeem. And there's nothing more beautiful than when a person starts to look more like Jesus in every area of their life. And Titus 2, where we came tonight, dealt just with the house, husbands, wives, the children, also the slaves. But Scripture is full of it. It's full of all these different areas. And there's just one verse, actually two verses, I'd like you just to hold dear tonight, and then we're going to pray together. Maybe you messed it up already, and even when it comes to this specific topic, you know. But I just want to comfort you tonight. I'm sure if Jesus was here, he would say, I will wipe away every tear from their eyes or from your eyes, and death shall be no more. There will be a day. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I'm making all things new. There's no reason for a couple where both people know Jesus and they should ever divorce or separate. Should not happen. Because he's making you new as you look unto him. Amen. And also every other area of your life. Trust him. He can do amazing things. Let's stand tonight and let's respond to him.